Israel and say to them, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. The Lord gives the interpretation and says, these bones, it's the people, it's the nation that you're looking at. And even though that there was an impossible situation here, this revival, this awakening was prophesied over the people of Israel. And we start today just by thinking that it took a saturated person in an impossible situation. That's what Ezekiel was. He was a God-filled man in an impossible, looking at an impossible vision. God's hand was upon Ezekiel. It says in verse 1, the hand of the Lord was on me. And I wonder if we can say on the 6th of January 2019, can we say the hand of the Lord was upon me? The hand of the Lord was upon me. God's Spirit is upon me. Like Jesus said in Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Is that what we can say this year? I hope it is. That we want to be those who are anointed, who are separated unto God, who encounter God, who are saturated with God. Here was a man, Ezekiel, the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. The hand of God was heavy upon him for the things that God had for him. But so often today, the hand of the Lord is not upon us, and we're just focused on the things of this world, the things of this life, getting more and doing more and seeing more and achieving more. And often it's futile things that don't count for eternity. But Ezekiel here has this vision that the Lord gives him, and he is a man saturated with God. The hand of the Lord is upon him. He's set apart for God. Empty the self and filled with God. And I want to say right at the beginning of this year, our great need as a church is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled to the fullness of the Holy Spirit. The full blessing of Pentecost that God made available to us through the death and resurrection of his Son. The gift of the Holy Spirit. That is the only means by which we're going to be effective in serving the Lord this year. Is for the hand of the Lord to be upon us, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And this whole passage is a passage that brings together the Word and the Spirit. Because Ezekiel is called to prophesy the Word of the Lord to the nation. And we need the Word of God as well. The Word, the Scriptures, to dwell in us richly. For us to be men and women of the Word, servants of the Word, lovers of the Word, filled with His Word and filled with His Spirit. And these two things come together here in Ezekiel 37, and it results in spontaneous combustion. It results in a dynamic move of God in this picture here that's given. These dry bones come to life. And it's a tremendous picture. The graveyard, the boneyard, becomes the people of God. And that's what we need in our own lives, where we're dry, where our hope is gone, where we are in a place of the valley. We want to allow the Word and the Spirit of God to revive us and to bring us back to Christ and to bring us back into that place of being saturated with God. And so here we see this man, the hand of the Lord was upon me. But how did Ezekiel experience that? It's interesting that the first thing that happened to him in this picture was that the Lord brought him into a valley, not to a mountaintop, not to a place of blessing, not to a place of comfort, but actually to a place of impossibility, to a place of struggle, to a place of hopelessness. There's no pretending here. This is how it is. God is showing his prophet exactly how it is in the nation, that there's a dire need. He's brought him into a valley of bones, a place of death, a place of hopelessness, a place where there's no comfort or no life. And in that place, I wonder if we've ever been in that place, by the way, where the Spirit of the Lord comes upon us. And just as the Spirit came upon Jesus at his baptism, and then what happened to Jesus? He wasn't set into a nice, comfortable environment. He was sent straight by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted of the devil, into the place of weakness, into the place of the valley, into the place of struggle. And that's where God often sends us. When we are filled, when we're saturated, it's not easy. And I cannot promise, and I wouldn't dare to promise an easy 2019 to anybody. When you follow the Lord, it can often take you to a valley. But God is there in the valley. And the miracle can happen in the valley. And God's power can be made perfect in this place of impossibility. That's what exactly the same thing happened to Mary when the angel Gabriel appeared to her. How many of us would, I mean, it would be wonderful, wouldn't it, to have an angel appear to us? But actually for Mary, that was the moment her life got tough. That was the moment her life got hard, where she was ostracized by her community, where people, she was misunderstood by people. And it was all because of the Lord's favor. He, you know, Mary, you are who are highly favored among women. And then her life gets outwardly more difficult. Here, Ezekiel is also, when the hand of the Lord, when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him, it doesn't mean it's easy. It means that the Lord is laying upon him his vision for his nation. And when God touches our hearts with a vision for the community, a vision to see God move, it is not an easy place. It can be a very painful place, but it's the right place. It's a wonderful place, even though it's tough. So God takes him in there, and then he asks him a question. And he says to him, "Son of man, can these bones live?" What a strange question. He's taken him to this place, but he wants to give him a vision. He wants to call him and see what the answer that Ezekiel gives to the Lord. He says, a very clever answer, but I think the answer here reveals Ezekiel's heart. He says, "Oh Lord, you alone know." But as I've read that, I'm sure there's lots of ways you can interpret that. But my reading of that is that Ezekiel is saying to the Lord, "Lord, only you have the answer. Only you have the answer. I can't make these bones live. I can't do anything, Lord. I can't make something happen here. It's got to be God. It's got to be a work of God to make these bones live." And that is, to me, a very humble place. Lord, you have the answer. And only God has the answer to our world today. I wonder if the Spirit of the Lord was to come upon us in greater measure, whether the Lord would set us in a valley full of bones. And really, he has placed us in this Epping Forest area. And if we were to look around Epping Forest, what would we see? We would see a place that is very dry spiritually. Here we live in a town of 35 or so thousand people. How many people will be in the place of worship this morning across the town? Perhaps 800 to 1,000 out of 35,000 in only our community, never mind Epping Forest. We live in a valley that is very dry spiritually. We live in a dry and thirsty land spiritually. And the Lord would speak to us, and he would say to us, people of God, can these bones live? Is it possible that in 2019 we might see an awakening? Is it possible? Do we care? Do we believe it's important that we should be seeing these thousands upon tens of thousands of people become Christians during our lifetime? How important is it for us that that should happen? Or are we content to live in the valley of dry bones? And the Lord asking us the question, can these bones live? Similar to the question that he asked Isaiah, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? He says to Ezekiel, can these bones live? You see, in the heart of our good Father in heaven, he's not willing that any should perish. God looks at Epping Forest this morning, and he looks at every soul who is in this community, and everyone is perfectly loved by him. Every single one he longs to bring to himself. Every single one, and so many of them, have not understood the gospel or not heard really, perhaps they've seen churchianity but not Christianity. Perhaps they've seen a poor witness in some regard of Christ, and they've written off the things of God, and they need to be shown and manifested the love of God. And how many people today are out there in the midst of so much pain and so much lostness and darkness, and it's a very dry valley they're living in spiritually, and there's no life. But we people of God sit here this morning, and we have the life of God, and we know that God is real. We know he's risen from the dead, the Lord Jesus Christ. We know there's a hope that is steadfast and certain. And we don't want those who are our neighbors in this community to pass into eternity without discovering that great love of God. I read just the other day that something like 1,200 people in Epping Forest this year will close their eyes for the last time and will pass into eternity. Now, does that bother us? Can these bones live? Can God do something in our day and in our time that none of us have ever seen before? Can God cause every person and every place to be saturated with God? And my answer, like Ezekiel's, would be, Lord, only you can do it. It would have to be, we haven't got it, none of us have got it in our own strength to make anybody come alive spiritually. But God does. And so here, the last point really I want to make this morning is, if we look around and we see these multitudes around us, like Joel says in Joel 3:14, multitudes in the valley of decision. As we look around our own valley of dry bones, what is it that God, what do we need to be doing to see God do a mighty work among us in this coming year? And I would say simply it's this: to pray the promises of God into being. God said to Ezekiel, he said, can these bones live? And then he said to him, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. This is when the word of God comes in power. That's when in creation God said, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. The word of the Lord is powerful. And when God speaks a word, it is powerful. And he's given us his word. And there's both proclaiming and praying his word into our community. That is what's going to bring the life. It's the word by the power of the Holy Spirit in our community. There is proclaiming the word, but we can all proclaim the word of the Lord. But the main burden on my heart today is to talk about praying his word into fulfillment in this year. Because we can have exactly the same results as we had in 2018, which is a trickle of growth. Or what is it the Epistle of James says? You have not because you ask not. And I believe that if we were to ask God in prayer and plead his promises in prayer, we would see greater works. We would see, because the church historically has seen greater works than we are currently seeing today. Even though around the world there is a tremendous revival happening in different countries, but we're not seeing it in the United Kingdom. That's not because we've reached some sort of high water mark. That's because you have not, because you ask not. And God is able. I'm encouraging us at the beginning of this year to lift up our eyes, to see what's really around us, to see the valley that's really there around us, and to begin to pray, and to begin to say, oh God, would you be at work? God, you promised. And there's a lovely promise in Isaiah 44, which says, I will pour water. The Lord promised, speaking to the people of Israel, I will pour water on him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. That's a picture that God gave to the people of Israel. But I believe it's a picture and a promise that we can pick up today. because the picture there is that the floods upon the dry ground. This picture is of dry bones. And the Lord spoke to Ezekiel and gave him a word to pray, to prophesy, to proclaim. And because it was God's word, that's what happened. God moved. And so, friends, today we are called to pray. We're called to proclaim. We are called to deliver the word of the Lord. How can this dead community spiritually come to life? How can Epping Forest, how can Loughton, how can Thaden Boys and Epping and Chigwell and all these places, Buckhurst Hill, what's it going to take to see God move in a spiritual awakening in our community? It's going to take us praying. The people of God praying, getting that vision of the great need that we have in our world today, and for us to pray. That's to be the heart, to pray bold prayers. That God is calling us to take hold of His exceeding great and precious promises in His Word concerning the gospel message, concerning the outpouring of the Spirit that He longs to bring to every heart, to every place, to every person. That is the will of God. It's the will of God that no one should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so we can be praying and saying, God, it is Your will that no one should perish. You've told us that in Your word. So we pray a spiritual awakening. We pray for thousands and hundreds of people to come to faith in Jesus Christ. And we pray, oh God, that You would also set our hearts more on fire as believers, so that we would be those fully Spirit-filled, gospel-filled, word-rich, loving one another, disciples of Jesus Christ that You've called us to be for 2019. That is the heart of God for us. Spiritual vibrancy. But it doesn't come through organization or programs or just events and things like that. It comes through the Holy Spirit. That's the power that brings the spiritual life. Wouldn't it be wonderful this year to catch a vision for 2019 that we're in the middle of a valley of dry bones? Yes, there are some blessings, but to be honest, we're not just here for ourselves. We're here for the whole community. Every person is what we're here for, and every place. And we're here to see every person know Christ and make Him known. And what's it going to take? The prayers of the people. The prayers of God's people. So can I call us to that place of prayer? And I haven't got time this morning to go through a number of stories I was going to share about when praying people caught a vision of what God wants to do. And God breaks through. Our God is a God who can break through. He's done it before. He can do it again. But my main thought this morning is I need the hand of God to be upon me, and you need the hand of God to be upon you this morning to catch that vision. Verse 1, the hand of the Lord is upon me. Oh God, put Your hand upon me. Put Your hand upon us, Lord. If we've veered off, if we've withdrawn, if we've gone back, Lord, put Your hand upon me afresh this morning. I need to know. I need to be filled with the Spirit of the Lord. So let me catch the vision of a world without Christ that needs the Lord. And Lord God, let me spend and be spent this 2019 for the greatest purpose of all, which is to see every person and every place saturated with God, to see this whole community revived. What did God do? Ezekiel prophesied as he was commanded. Twice we see he prophesied. The first time the bones came together and the rattling noise happened and so on. But a rattling isn't always a revival. It's something happened at the beginning, but when he prophesied for the second time, the Spirit came and brought life. And isn't that our heart's desire? Spiritual life in our community, not just in our churches, but in the whole town. The spiritual life of God breaking through. so that we would see a vast church, a vast army come to life here in our community. Is it possible? Why should it only be the preserve of the Chinese and the South Koreans and all these folks to see many people come to faith in their communities? There's tremendous moves of God happening in the Muslim world and in all over the world today. Why would God give us a vision for here? Don't we want that in the United Kingdom? Don't we want that in Essex for a great move of the Spirit to break out here and for us to see it and be part of it? Wouldn't that be remarkable? Just use our imaginations for a moment and think, my goodness, imagine seeing God break through. This church building will be far too small for multiplying as many services as you like when God breaks through. It will take far more than church buildings. It will be a whole movement of the people of God and of the Spirit of God. But we are called to be those who are at the very beginning of it and who will kneel, spend time kneeling in prayer and saying, God, break through. God, you are willing. Give me that vision of this community and give me a vision to pray for a spiritual awakening, to pray for a revival, to pray that something wonderful will happen in 2019. God, give us that vision, we pray. Someone once said, for the church, we'll either have a revival or a funeral. And we have a choice. Is the church going to be with us in 50 years or so? If so, we need to get onto our knees and pray as Ezekiel did. And so let me just close in a prayer now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this coming year of grace, the grace of God. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will touch our hearts afresh with the love of Christ. Lord God Almighty, we pray for the valley that you have called us to live in of dry bones. We pray, Father, that this would be a year where you give us that vision to see it change, to see our streets, our neighborhoods, and our work colleagues and those around us change by the power of the Word and the Spirit. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will cause us to pray. Cause us, Lord, to teach us to pray. Teach us, Lord, to call on the Lord and to remind you of your promises, Lord, that you have promised to move when we pray, that you have promised, Lord God, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find. You have promised, O God, that we will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us and that we will be witnesses to the ends of the earth. You promised, Lord, never to leave us or forsake us. You have promised, O God, to hear us when we pray. You've promised, O God, to revive us, Lord. If my people call by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. And we pray, Lord, that is your promise. You promised to pour water on the thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. And Father, we pray that we will see your promises. We will see your life break through in our community, Father God. We're not satisfied just to have church the way we've had it, Lord. We want to see everyone come to the Lord. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would give us that vision from you and stir it up in us, we pray, Heavenly Father. Stir up the love, stir up the grace and the kindness and the goodness of God in your people so that we would live as we've never lived before and pray as we've never prayed before, Father God. Come to us, we ask. Fill us this morning with the Holy Spirit. And we ask this, Father, with gratitude and worship for the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask it in his name. Amen.